everyone, and welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Lindsay Hughley, and joining me today is Dr. Kevin Streff. Dr. Streff is the founder of cybersecurity startups, including American Security and Privacy LLC and SBF Cybersecurity LLC. His companies operate nationwide and internationally, aiding organizations in meeting data protection regulation and implementing robust security strategies. He has transformed his research into widely adopted educational and software solutions, earning numerous grants and awards, including recognition from Inc. magazine and 2 SBIR research awards. For over 20 years, Dr. Streff served as a professor and research lab director at Dakota State University, a national center of excellence in cyber defense. He led key research initiatives and developed the university's cybersecurity and data privacy curriculum, significantly expanding the program. Currently, he's the founder and managing partner at American Security and Privacy, focusing on cybersecurity and data privacy in the banking sector. Dr. Streff is a sought-after speaker on data security and privacy, featured in prominent media outlets such as Money Magazine and The Wall Street Journal. His research is published in top academic journals and presented in prestigious conferences. Welcome, Dr. Streff. We are so excited to hear from you today. How are you?
Great. Thank you, everybody, for having me on today.
Yes, we are so excited. So I will say, here at Banking Matters, we always like to start our conversations with our guests to find out how they got their start in the financial services industry.
Yeah, that's a good question. So yeah, you know, when I was going to college in the 80s, Citibank was coming to town. And so I got involved in internships at Citibank back in the 80s. And ever since then, I've been in the financial sector. I've been in the consulting side with then Anderson Consulting, now Accenture. And then really from there, that's all I've ever done. I'm not very helpful in healthcare or government or anything else, but banking, I know every process, every system, everything that there is to know.
That is awesome. And I have so many of my friends that are in the medical industry, and my line is always, I don't do medical emergencies, mm-hmm. but I could definitely assist with helping you navigate a lot of other stuff. So I know that your company, American Security and Privacy, you partner with banks. Can you help me understand what it is you offer and how important that is for banks to focus on the services that you do offer?
Yeah, we follow a model that I've developed, Lindsay, called PACES, where we do security and privacy following PACES, which is products like GRC solutions, auditing and testing services in security and privacy, consulting services, virtual consulting services or any kind of consulting services, educational services with webinars, certifications, training, etc., as well as staffing. So if you're short a network administrator or a privacy officer and you need help finding one or being one virtually for you for a while, we can help with that.
That is awesome. And so in your experience and your time on the cybersecurity side, can you help explain to our listeners who, again, are mostly community-based, can you help us understand those laws and regulations that affect cybersecurity and privacy?
Yeah, on the cybersecurity side in 1999, it all started with Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act, as we know. And that's really then over the course of the next 20, 25 years, we've been doing risk assessments and audits and putting together 30 to 50 policies now, if you take a look at this out at most banks, with that are security related policies. And now, and Reg P came out with Gramm-Leach-Bliley, but that was really focused on consent and a privacy notice. And now data privacy is a much larger thing. And so now there are about 20 countries that have data privacy laws, of which the United States is not one of them. It's tried twice, but failed twice. Washington's an interesting place, as we know. However, states now, there are now 19 state data privacy laws. It started with California, and now they're in all parts of the United States.
And so if a bank is really looking to dig in and make sure that they are beefing up and doing what they need in this area, what are some steps that you would suggest that they start looking at?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, the issue here, just backing up a step, is you know, this is just going to cost money. And this is what's very difficult on community banks. As we know, we're already wearing seven hats a person. And now here we go with this eighth one. This reminds me, Lindsay, of cybersecurity years ago, where we didn't have a budget for it, but then needed to do some stuff and get started, didn't know where to get started. And so the places to get started are to name a privacy officer. The good news about that is that doesn't cost money like that. But yeah, name somebody to be in charge of it like you did a security officer. And just because somebody's not there that Friday, they were the security officer that got named. That's not how we should do the privacy one, right? But name a privacy officer. Could be your security officer, could be somebody from marketing, right? Could be somebody from operations. And then number two, get them some element of training. What exactly is data privacy? How's it different from data security? What are the basic things to get started? And then number three and finally would be to somehow assess your environment against those laws. You can do that through a privacy gap assessment. You can, if you've got a good auditor that has expanded their IT audit to include privacy, you can get a lens and a view into it through that as well. At American Security and Privacy, we've expanded our IT audit to really have a heavy privacy area. And those wouldn't be findings that you'd get in trouble for, but they would be, you know, these recommendations that you should consider.
So as far as you've seen, do you think so far now, do you think it is industry standard for IT audits to include that extra privacy block?
Absolutely not. When I got started with privacy, I really thought, oh, this is kind of like security. And what I've come to understand, it's like 5% overlap. So yeah, most auditing firms have not yet, you know, spent the time and really understand the depth of what it is. So security is really about keeping people out, right? And privacy is you're in and you're giving control to your account holder, right? They have control over the data. Security says it's the bank's data. And privacy says, no, it's the cardholder's data or it's the account holder's data. And they have the right to delete, the right to change, the right to modify, the right to limit use, and these different things. It's very, very different.
So honestly, I guess I haven't really had to think about the difference in the security versus the privacy sector. So are there any areas in which they do overlap?
Yeah. Matter of fact, there's seven principles of data privacy, and one of them is having good security. But that's really where that's at. Most of it is really about giving control to the account holder. So then the question for a community bank is, how do you affordably do that? So most of the laws say, for example, that you can call in Lindsay and say, hey, I want to understand what data the bank has on me, how they're using it, and who they're sharing it with. So the bank has a responsibility now then to fulfill that customer service request. And so how do you do that affordably in a timely manner? Most of the laws say it's 45 days to respond to that. I mean, there's some stuff in here. And then the auditors would come in and check for compliance for those kinds of programs.
And so you said there are seven pieces of data privacy. Is that something that you can kind of walk us through and give an overview of?
Yeah, I could pretty quickly do this. I've got them listed here, you know, over in a slide. I'll just kind of get to. Yeah. So the, I got it right here. So yeah, there's kind of two groups. The first is about how a bank collects and uses data. So the principles are collection limitation, right? Where we're only collecting stuff that we absolutely need. And then we're keeping it accurate and up to date. If we collect stuff now, we can't let it go stale. And each data element that we collect now needs to have a purpose specification. Meaning if it's collected for a loan application, it can only be used for a loan application. That's its purpose specification. And use limitation then says it can only be used for that. So those are four of the privacy principles. And then the other four privacy principles get to openness and transparency, so that when your account holder asks for what data you have to be open and transparent about it. And then you need to let them interact with it. It's called individual participation, where they can modify, they can restrict. And then there's a principle of accountability, that in the end, it's the bank's accountability to keep this stuff secure and private.
So honestly, I am just trying to think through a community bank that may have gone through some leadership shifts, and maybe they have new people in these leadership roles that are in charge of compliance just in general, honestly. What are some, I guess you had said setting the privacy officer as well, but what are some areas maybe that they should focus on once they do get a privacy officer designated, and then they start really digging into how to verify and keep up with all of their customer data?
Yeah, so similar, remember when the regulator said it's a top-down managed program, Lindsay, for cybersecurity? It's the same answer for data privacy. So yeah, the good news is there are frameworks. There are those top-down managed frameworks for data privacy that managers, that leaders can say, okay, yeah, we're going to use this privacy framework and we're going to teach that in our bank, like we did with cybersecurity with NIST or the other frameworks that are out there. And we've developed one at ASP that's specific to banking. And it just deals with kind of, it's a crawl, walk, run program. So you just kind of get started. And there are other offerings that are out there from other providers that can do similar kinds of things.
Awesome. So, and I'm always thinking about how the landscape of regulatory-wise, how it will shift. Do you have any thoughts on what you expect in the next year to 5 years? Because I mean, I know things change so fast.
Yeah, there's a lot in here, as you're mentioning. Some things can happen. Right now, the CFPB is really what's kind of being kind of nasty to everybody, including banking, for consumer protection. So because we don't really have a national law, and I've been in contact with OCC, FDIC, and stuff at the national policy level about this, because we don't have that law, they're really letting CFPB kind of run this, so to speak. When we get that national law, then the whole thing changes. Do we have an IT exam? Do we have a privacy exam? Does privacy get included in the IT exam? And how about in some of the safety and soundness, like a little bit of IT is? All of that, we don't know yet. Right. And I'm not going to guess at how that's going to work out. But right now, it's CFPB. It will transition over to our traditional bank regulators at some point in time when they have what they call authority.
Okay. And so, like you said, you don't really have any anticipation on when that may happen. We just know that it will be happening eventually.
Well, they've tried in 2022 and then they tried here in 2024 for a national law. But because it's, you know how it is, they're in D.C. and they can't cooperate on anything right now. That's kind of where we're at. So that's why the states are just said, okay, we're going to set up our own programs. And so you might see your state examiners come out looking for some more of that if this period of time gets to be 2 or 3 more years.
Yes, I do know there's been a few states, state exams that I've been involved with, and they have stated that this is not exactly part of their exam, but it's almost like a little questionnaire that they are trying to gauge the temperature of what are banks doing now in regards to this. I think the first one that I saw was back in 22. They were just really, they said this is not a part of it, but we're just trying to glean information just to, again, like I said, see what the landscape looks like.
That's right. And the examiners are trying to figure this out as well. And so, yeah, this is all going to kind of come together over the next 12 to 18 months. The good news is we're not trying to create, it's not an emergency. It's not that the sky is falling. Everybody, it's just how do you get started in an affordable way? in a really affordable way that if we know we're going to get to here, you know, we don't have to do all that, but how do we do things consistent with that path, right? So right. Naming a privacy officer, getting him or her some basic education and training, getting the staff to understand privacy is an interdisciplinary thing. So marketing people need to understand now, I can't just use data however I want to use data. I have to use it based on its purpose. I can't just collect anything I want. If I've got loan applications that I'm not using data on, I need to get that stuff off applications. And like, they need to get some training and awareness like that. That's all just good stuff, consistent with where this is going. But it's not that the sky is falling or anything like that and anything. Now, when it falls into the regulatory purview, then we're going to have to take that to the next level. But right now, it's that base investment of understanding and naming somebody, getting some training, and probably doing some sort of gap assessment or finding an auditing firm that already has that in there so that you're already paying for it. Now you're just getting this as well.
Yes, that would be great. And like I said earlier, we were chatting, I just know that the community banks that I get to work with on a daily basis, maybe the location and whatnot doesn't offer itself to be somewhere that is attractive to someone who would be qualified for this. And so I guess one of the things, the last questions that I want to kind of round out with is, what could, if a bank is located in more of an attractive market, what are some things that they could do, or what do they need to look for in someone if they're wanting to bring on someone that is more qualified to take this on?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a large bank, I think you can hire yourself a privacy analyst or a privacy officer. If you're a community bank, you're just not going to do that. That's a $100,000 deal. How are you going to find them? These people don't hardly exist,
yeah,
right? And things like that. So then you're looking at those virtual services again. You know, I know Compliance Alliance also offers virtual services. You know, we offer virtual services. There are others. That's the most affordable way to do it, where you share, you know, a privacy officer across 9 other banks or something, Lindsay.
Right.
Right. So, and they've got that expertise and training. So I think that that's the crawl, walk, run. Most folks, like on the security side, once you get to 500 million or something like that, they've got their own kind of there. But when they're 250 on down, they're still doing some virtual stuff, as you know. So I'm not sure exactly sure, but I see it playing out something similar to data security.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so much. We always like to wrap up and ask our guests, what is one piece of advice that you would like to leave our listeners with today?
Yeah, you know, I think data stewardship, you know, I said about 10 years ago that the banks that are going to win are those that are the best with technology and the most responsible with the data. And I think we're really beginning to see that, you know, so much of what we do, I'm not telling anybody they don't know, right? That, oh my God, technology is a big thing. But with artificial intelligence, it's going to create a mess. And not just on the technology side, but on the data stewardship side. So artificial intelligence is going to create an even bigger mess. So making sure that your security officer is good and trained in, and then getting a privacy officer or expertise that is good, trained in, so that responsible stewardship, but I mean, we don't want to overspend. We can't overspend. We're community banks. We don't have a lot of extra. But planning that out, and you know, is really my advice. That don't wait until, well, the regulators say so. Get started somehow, because then it's usually too late and you're playing catch up. And then you're getting beat up by the examiners and all of that kind of stuff. Just move it along a little bit, Lindsay. And the advice that we gave with those three things: name a privacy officer, get some basic training, and do some sort of gap assessment or an audit, right? And then that'll give you a roadmap for which to build your program.
Yeah, that would be great. And I am always a proponent of working ahead of the regulations, because like you said, when you're playing fetch up, that's when you can feel like it might be an emergency. And I like to say there's no emergencies in compliance. Some may disagree, but...
Right.
But when you can stay ahead of the game, it definitely makes a world of change. And it's easier to make those changes part of your culture, especially compliance-wise, versus just shoving it down their throat so that hopefully they realize it and learn it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even seeing there's a bank that we're working with that their motto is security, privacy, and trust. I mean, that's like you know, because that's data stewardship. It's like, yeah, come bank with us. I mean, you got to do this stuff anyway. You might just as well get some marketing out of it as well. Like, come bank with us. You know, we're the responsible, trustworthy technological solution for it.
That is awesome. Well, Dr. Streff, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to speak with us today. We are so grateful that you've done this. And for the rest of our listeners, that's Banking Matters.